great joy for us to be together. Isn't it great to be a Christian? Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. And everybody together said, amen. That's what the scripture says, Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. And that's just really fitting, isn't it, Tommy, with that the battle belongs to the Lord. What a great song. What a great sentiment. I know that God takes good care of us. Well, it's that time of the year. We're getting ready now for the big Sunday Super Bowl that'll be coming up. I heard this story this past week. I was among a bunch of preachers, so consider that as I tell you this. Anyway, a man took his seat at the Super Bowl just before the big game was about to get going. He looked over. He noticed that the seat next to him was empty. He sort of leaned across to the person that was sitting over there, and he said, asked that fella, he said, if he knew whether or not whether someone was going to be coming to take it. And he said, no, it's going to be empty. The fellow said, well, I can't believe that. Surely you would think that this is the Super Bowl. I mean, you'd think that somebody would have been in that seat, that it would be totally sold out. He said, the seat was purchased. I bought these two tickets, he said, several weeks ago for me and my wife, but she has since passed away. He said, oh, that's awful. I'm so sorry to hear that. Couldn't you find somebody to take the other seat, like a friend, a relative, maybe even a neighbor? He said, no, they're all at the funeral. Well, we take our sports pretty serious, don't we? That's just a story, okay? We really don't believe that. I hope your team's in the Super Bowl and you get to have a great shout out for it and all of that, and that's a good thing. But we're on the Lord's team, and we're here today. And I know that we preachers sometimes don't sound as though we're making any sense, but I just want to back up a minute and say to you that as we kind of kick the year off, the first lesson on that particular Sunday was entitled Our Heavenly Home, talked about our home in heaven. And we cited 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1, of course, for we know that if our earthly house of this building, or this tabernacle, if you will, this physical body, were to dissolve or be dissolved, that we have a building of God or a house not made with hands, eternal in heaven. I just thought that's the way to kick a year off, is talk about where we're headed, where we want to go. We want to be with God in our heavenly home. In the second Sunday, we went to the book of Exodus, and we read, even though it can be found in 1 Corinthians, that this passage, because Paul quotes this passage, Exodus 32 and verse 6, where the children of Israel sat down to eat and to drink, and they rose up to play. We talked about our priorities starting the year off. And I want to emphasize, as I just, you know, I look at all of you, and I know we don't say it enough, but it's great to be in front of a bunch of people who love the Lord Jesus Christ, who love God, who want to live their lives so they're pleasing to Him. I know you're not perfect, just like I'm not perfect. We're all just struggling along, doing the best we know to do to serve our Lord. And I hope that we can encourage one another to do that. Last week we talked about Jesus loves me, do you? Now that was kind of a thought of, we all know that Jesus, as he gave that new commandment, that you love one another even as I have loved you. So the idea there is to learn to love like Jesus. And I know that all of us want to do that. We hope that we live our life in a way that that other people see the light of Christ living in us. Now, the lesson that I have for today is a long one. I'm just letting it sink in. I'm being honest with you. It really is. I had a college professor, Bobby, you know, before I dropped off to sleep like you, that he always started his class by saying, I have spent a lot of time in preparation for our time together, for our class. Anybody that's preached, gotten up in front of a crowd, always knows that there's a lot of time devoted to preparation and getting things ready. And so I'm just saying to you that I don't intend to dump my whole load today. Okay, I just was letting you know, okay? I'm not going to go through all of these notes that I've written down because I know I don't have time. But I do want to get us started on the whole idea of you still understanding this. You don't need January the 1st to be your marker for setting your life out. You can do that today. It's all up to you. You can do that this very hour. Whatever it is that your goal is for the coming days ahead or whatever the future looks like for you, you can make your plans and you can make your beginning even today. One of the beauties about being a member of the body of Christ or being in the Lord's body, the church, is that every day that we wake up is a new day. Amen? And the Lord loves us and He's ready to bless us as we go about living our lives. Really is up to you. A passage that I've selected for us is found in the book of Philippians. And it's really, I would just encourage you to read that whole book, but read the words that kind of lead up to what he's saying here in these verses 9 through 11. They're not new words to us. We've heard them before. We've studied from them before. But let's put them into context of, that is the context of we're beginning a new year. We are in 2020. We are getting ready to make our life better. And I know that each and every one of you wants to live the best life that they can for those around them, as well as yourself, and especially, of course, to live for our God. Paul is so in love with the brethren at Philippi. He says so many endearing things as he's beginning, as he writes here. And he says, this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and in all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Jesus Christ, the day of Christ, having been filled with the fruits of righteousness, which comes through Jesus Christ, to the praise, or to the glory and to the praise of our God. What a great, great statement. What a great concept of encouragement that they would be able to approve the good things. There's not a person in this audience that wouldn't want to know every time they made a decision that they were making the right one. Am I right about that? I mean, wouldn't it be wonderful if we really did have one of those little things that we just turned it upside down and it gave us the right answer? You know, you ask that old question, whatever it might be. That'd be a great thing. And yet the scripture is filled with numerous things that would help us if we would remember them, to be encouraged by them. As Paul is praying for them, that they might have knowledge and they might have judgment. That word discernment, being able to determine what is right and what is wrong. Or maybe in this case, better said, what's good and what's evil. And that's a struggle today for a lot of reasons, because it really is a difficult thing, changing your life. How do you go about doing that? We hear a lot today talked about not just changing what you're doing, but changing your way of life, a lifestyle kind of change. And that's very true. In fact, I can't think of anything that changes lifestyle more than Jesus Christ. And you can see the change in a person who has begun to make decisions that are tempered with the scripture. And of course, their lives begin to show that. That's a great thing. Changing your life one decision at a time. I don't know whether you think that's really a good way of looking at life, but you know, I've lived long enough to know that when you make a bad decision, sometimes that leads to making another bad decision. I don't know why that is necessarily, but it seems to be the way of mankind. But I've also learned that when you make a good decision, it becomes easier to make the next good decision. If you're just willing to want to do that. Think back in your own life for a moment. It won't be too painful or too hard on you. To think back at the decisions that you made that you can look at now and realize that they were very good decisions. There was one of mine right there. Very good decision. Did I know what I was doing? No. I don't mind saying that. I mean, I really had no idea how great a decision that was going to be. But each day, I found out how much better my life is because of that decision. And you can do the same kind of thing. I can think of all kinds of different people in my own life who've come along, and they were people who helped me make decisions, and my life became a better life because of that. And I don't think I can say this too strongly. You know, today could be that day for you. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter where you've been. Today could be actually that kind of day for you. That you make a decision that changes your life for the good, for the following of Jesus. I know that some believe that, well, out here in our world, you can find all kinds of beliefs, and you know that's true, but you just can't change, or you can't refuse what seems to be the inevitable. That's a lie. That's a lie. You may be looking at your life and thinking, this is just going downhill. I'm telling you, if that's the way you're thinking today, I want you to know that all you got to do is turn your head and look up. Look up the hill. I mean, look a little further and look straight up in the air and find the one who is able to bring you out of whatever circumstance you're in. I don't care what it is. But God, through Jesus Christ, can make that kind of difference in your life. And he does it willingly. He happily does it. I know that a lot of folks think about your life as just sort of like a a predestined role that is being rolled out, or some kind of recording that just goes over here like this, and you can't really avoid some of these things. And sometimes it feels like that. Sometimes it feels like that. But that's really not true. There are a few people in this crowd that every once in a while get on a cruise ship. We won't bring up any names, but anybody in here, is there anybody in this room that would like to go on a cruise? Look at them. Oh, we got a lot of kids down here who want to go. Now, if y'all want to take them on the kid plan, there's some kids down here who want to go. You can get on board that ship, and I did that for 4+ years in the United States Navy. And yes, that was a decision I made, and you notice I didn't bring that one up. It was a great decision. It was really a great decision. I didn't always think it was, but looking back on it, it was a very good decision. You can get on the ship, and the ship is headed to a destination. And I'm telling you that some people think that your life is headed in a destination or some place, like a ship going somewhere. Now, while you're on board the ship, you can do anything you want on the ship. Now, that may not be true in the military, but if you're on the cruise ship, you've probably got too many things. You've got so many things you can't do them all on board that ship. But it's still going to the same place. And everybody on the ship's all going there, right? If they're on the ship, that's where they're going. But I'm trying to make a point to you that you're where you are in your life today because of your decisions. You're there because you chose to be here. It may not have been one of those things that you were saying, well, that's the choice I wanted to make, but nonetheless, you're here because you're here. You are evidence that you're here. Now, what are you going to do about it? Do you like it? You like where you are? If you don't like where you are, do you know you can make a change? It's not like being on the ship, because there's only one way to make a change out there, and that's to jump overboard, and I'm not recommending that. It might be a long swim back to a port somewhere. But in life, you can make a change. You can make a decision to change. You can choose to be chosen. You can choose to be in a different place. I know there's a lot of "you're okay, I'm okay" stuff floating around out here, but I'm here to tell you today, it's okay only if God says it's okay. If I don't say anything else today, I just, Rosemary and myself, we had the chance to enjoy along with the Smith family, the Vision Workshop up at Sunset in Lubbock. And we heard some great preachers. And I mean some preachers who got up and said they were going to preach the Word of God. In fact, that's their mode or method of operation over there at the Sunset Church. Every time anybody goes to the pulpit, they say, "Preach the Word." Well, that's a great mantra to have. That's who we are, and that's what we do. We can choose where we want to go. You are what you are because that's what you've chosen. And if you don't like it, I want to emphasize to you this morning, and you know I'm going to carry this on to next week, because I want you to be able to change it. You can change your direction anytime you choose to. Your life can change other people's lives. Rosemary and I decided that we needed to leave the Los Angeles area. We wanted to go to another place, and I got a job offer up in the Central Valley of California. Now, this was back when they were still chiseling on stone for at school, okay? That's how old I am. No, this was a little over 50 years ago. We went to a church building on our first Sunday when we moved to this particular area, Modesto, California. And when we went out to get in the old truck, where's that Ashmore guy? I don't want him to hear this. It was a Chevrolet, I'm sorry. But the battery was dead. We sat around trying to get that thing motivated. We had some jumper cables. And everybody in the parking lot, I mean, I'm going to say within about 5 minutes, it was empty. They were gone to lunch, except for one fella. He saw that we were having some problems, and he came over and helped us jump the battery to get us out of there. He was a guy who changed our lives. He kind of restored our faith. We were in a new place and new people and didn't know what to do. And wound up going back to church that night, and a lady invited us to go home with her. Naomi Gillespie. Her husband was off in the Air Force, I do believe, and she had a couple of boys she was raising. She took us home for peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. And a lot of you folks are enjoying that jelly because she's the one who taught Rosemary how to make that strawberry jelly. That changed our lives. Life-changing decisions. And sometimes we go through life not wanting to make any changes at all. I'm going to throw this scripture in, and then I'm going to start kind of winding down for today. There's a great story in the Old Testament in 1 Kings chapter 3. You know it well. It's about a fellow by the name of Solomon. The scripture there says, in Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream at night. And God said, ask what you wish me to give you. Now, I'm just telling you that, Doug, how would that be? Wouldn't you like to have a dream and God said, just tell me what you want, Doug. You can have it. Solomon said, you have shown great loving kindness to your servant, David, my father, according as he walked before you in Arjoth in all truth and righteousness and uprightness of the heart toward you. And you have reserved for him this great loving kindness that you have given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. Now, Solomon's starting out pretty humble, isn't he? And we know he doesn't stay that way. But now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. Yet I am but a little child, and I do not know how to go. I can't go out. I don't know how to come in. Your servant is in the midst of your people, which you have chosen, a great people who are too many to be numbered or to be counted. So give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, to discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? It was pleasing in the sight of the Lord that Solomon had asked that thing. God said to him, because you have asked this thing and have not asked for yourself long life or riches for yourself, nor have you asked for the life of your enemies, but you have asked for yourself discernment to understand justice. Behold, I have done according to your words. Now I want to say to you, if you pray the prayer of Solomon, that God promises that he will give you understanding. Am I right about that? Have you read that in the scripture? Are you like me? I get too busy and I get started and I start doing it myself. And I don't always ask God like I should. I'm no different than you. We have to remember we must begin in the right place and let God help us make our decisions. So maybe, let me send you home today with this idea of giving your servant, that would be you, an understanding heart to know the difference between, look at what he said, let me know what's good and what's evil. I want to say something to you. I could have used that a long time ago. Are you where I am? It was all up to me. I mean, I was what they say in the driver's seat. I was calling the shots. I was making the decisions. And they weren't all bad. But I can think of a number of them that I would like to be able to correct. And I'm sure you can too. Why not go home today and begin today that this is going to be your decision, that you will ask for God to give you an understanding heart so that you can judge between what is good and what is evil. Now, I haven't even gone into that, and I'm not going to get started there because we'll wind up staying here a long time. Because we live in a world where that is a very murky place. It's a very foggy place about trying to figure out what's good and evil because of all of the other things that we have trying to influence us about that. But you know and I know that the Lord's word is right. That God is good. And that if you will determine today to include God in your decision-making process, that that will make a big change in your life. I mean, starting right now, that can make a big change in your life for the good. Because God promises to help us when it comes to that. And it's up to you. It's not up to me, the preacher. It's not up to the elders to do this. It's up to you individually. We all have to determine to make the good decisions. The decisions that put us in service to our Lord. Well, I don't really know where to stop this thing, but I'm going to stop it right there. I love you. I love serving you. I love having the opportunity to preach to you. And I may not always meet your expectations. I know that that's true. Maybe never for some. I don't apologize for that because I'm asking God all the time to help me reach you. Not because I'm smarter than you, because I'm not. But I know that God can. And I hope that God reaches your heart. Everybody seeing that? I hope He's reaching your heart to help you, to help yourself, because it is up to you, that you may learn to approve the things that are excellent, the good things in life, more to come.